So we are on an up note. We are finishing up today our series one way or another. We are finishing today on powerful people, and you all said yay. All right. So I hope that you've gotten something out of this series along the way. And we're talking about how to be thriving, not paralyzed people, not have a victim mentality. I know I explain this every time, but I want to make sure we're on the same page. Here's what I find in series. A couple things happen. I feel like people get really annoyed with them because we go so long on them. That may or may not be true. But the other thing that is true is I start hearing it all the time. And I've heard more often in the last 2 weeks, yeah, but I don't want to be a victim, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? It gets burned into your consciousness, you know, kind of like smelling a rotten egg does sometimes, you know, but at least it's stuck in there. And so if nothing else, we have the ability to stick things in your head. So I don't know if you know or not, but you don't always learn things the first time through. Right, husbands? Wives, can you attest to that? I'm just kidding. But we don't. And so as we're finishing up our series today, I'm excited about some of this stuff. And so we can close this out and really hopefully have some keys to at least, number one, recognize when I'm getting stuck, right? When I'm spinning my wheels and I'm just paralyzed and I can't, and I start hearing that kind of language come out of my mouth going, am I really using all the resources here, or do I just not want to? Am I just stuck in this? Am I letting exterior things really shape what's going on interior? And that's what we wanted to highlight. And then secondly, hopefully we've got some tools that we can say, all right, here's what I'm going to do. We looked at the life of Joseph last time. I had an interesting revelation kind of as we were studying Joseph and we were going through Joseph Jacobson and those 2 weeks of that. Do you guys remember when Stephen preached a month ago or so on the Jesus stack? He talked, the big series was the mind field. And then the last 2 weeks, he preached on the Jesus stack. And it was like this analogy of pancakes. You guys remember that at all or not? If you have not watched that, if you were not here for that, go back, go on YouTube, go on cocfamily.com, go on our Facebook, go back and find that one. For sure, the last two were great, but if you can only watch one, watch that fourth one in that series. And it's actually the second one in the Jesus stack, but it's the fourth one in his four-week deals, his final one. And I just thought how he walked through the IHOP analogy with the verses in Philippians was so phenomenal. So I thought today we'd revisit that real quick and look at the life of Joseph and watch how he walked through this. So we were talking about Joseph Jacobson, and he had this vision from God, his dreams from God. He got thrown in a pit. He got beat up. He got sold into slavery. Ended up spending time in prison unlawfully. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. But in all of that, God used it. And at the end of the day, that's what saved Israel. That's what saved God's people. Like, that thing was salvation for God's people. But it didn't happen like in a day or a week or a month or a year. It was years of faithfulness. And I don't know about you, but me keeping a healthy mindset in the middle of that, like, if something's not working out like it should, like anyone ever done an update on your computer? And then you get the blue screen of death or whatever, or it's supposed to be uploading or something, right? We've got about a 7-minute window before we're ready to call it quits. And God, I can't do this. And why are you torturing me like this? And my life, I'm a worm. Kill me now, right? Okay, maybe not. But I am some days. And so Joseph goes through years of this. And so he had to walk in these biblical principles to keep a healthy mindset and not get paralyzed. Oh man, I'm still in jail. That turkey, he said he was going to talk to Pharaoh for me, and now I'm still here, and another year goes by. And yet when Joseph comes out of it, shaves and puts fresh clothes on and walks in this spirit of excellence, and then God begins to bring deliverance. God begins to bring deliverance. But Joseph was stewarding his life that whole time. So let's look at these. The first one is identity. True identity, says Stephen, is true identity is knowing who you are in Christ. And if you are going to have a healthy mindset, you've got to know who you are. You've got to know what God says about you. Because the world is saying something about you. Facebook is saying something about you. Your mind is saying something about you. The devil is saying something about you. But what is most important? What does God say about you? That's what's most important. So having a healthy identity is the foundational pancake, right? Digging into the Word of God and seeing what God says about me. Do I have any value apart from just if I'm doing really good, then I'm worth something, and if I'm not, then I'm not? Or, you know, we've got to start that we're made in the image of God and that we are loved and that God has designs and plans and purposes for our life, right? And He really does. So Joseph was part of this lineage. We talked about it on the first Sunday of that. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was the son of Jacob, so Joseph Jacobson. And he was in this lineage of Israel that God was going to bless and multiply. And so he knew that. He would have heard those stories growing up. He would have known probably his, I don't know if Abraham was still alive, but he would have known, you know, for sure his grandpa and his dad, and for sure would have heard the stories, at the very least. And he would have grown up with that. So he was only 17 when he got booted out. But then he started having these God dreams. God shows up. Now, this isn't the time where the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. This is when you might get the luck of the draw, right? You know, it wasn't luck, but you know what I mean? It's a one in a million shot that God's going to be talking to you. And so God starts giving him dreams. And so he's got these dreams. As he's sold off, you know, he's got this memory of, wow, I had these God moments. And remember we said we kept finding all these scriptures that said the Lord was with him. He had this sense of God's presence. And again, it wasn't that everybody got to walk in God's presence in those days. So he knew who he was. And yet all of his circumstances were telling him he was someone different. But he knew who he was, and so he had to maintain. And Stephen asked the question, how often do we need to remind ourselves about our identity? If you watch the video, and it was every day. Oh my goodness. Every day there's something telling you contrary to who you are. But as we see with Joseph, as we see with Paul had this vision from God. He was taken up into the third heaven or whatever. And who knows what God gave Paul to help him with that? A thorn. He got a thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but Paul calls it a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. Keep him humble. So humility keeps you walking in your true identity. Now, what if Joseph would have walked into Egypt after they dropped him off of the gypsy cart or whatever, and he would have been to Potiphar? You know, let me tell you something. You don't know who, do you have any idea who I am? And it would have been true. And you know what Potiphar would have done? Right? Like, it wouldn't matter. And so in order for Joseph to walk the life that he needed to walk and to live out that identity, he had to use humility. Because having a healthy identity has the potential to get our heads puffed up. And you're not amazing and loved and special because you're amazing, loved, and special. You are because God says you are. And because God says you are, then you are. But it's not because of your own works or what you've done. And so Joseph walked in that. Look at this. Humility restored the prodigal son back to his identity. Humility keeps you in your identity. When he's sitting in the pig pods, remember that story? Left, and he's like, hey, I know what's best, and I'm going to get my inheritance. And, you know, didn't care anything for his family and just left. All of a sudden, he's squandered all his money, and he's eating from an unclean animal trough. Like, I don't mean unclean. I mean unclean religiously, and also unclean because it's a pig trough. And he came to this realization, oh, man, the servants at my mom and dad's house have it better than this. And humility brought him back and said, I'm a son, but make me a servant. Make me a servant. Humility said, I don't deserve this. But his father reminded him of who he was. No, that doesn't change your identity. So humility helps us to stay in that because guess what? Your flesh and my flesh like to run away from us. And the devil's right there to kind of encourage that along. So humility, but that's why Stephen said this pancake stack is so important, because if you try to walk in humility without knowing your true identity, it will come off a lot like, you'll come off as an Eeyore. Remember Winnie the Pooh? Well, I guess I'm just a worm anyway. I don't really have anything to be excited about because I don't really have any value. Welp. Right? No, humility will keep you low because God says go low. Value others, but you are loved and you are special, right? And so there's these things are in tension, but God intended it that way. So Pastor Stephen says, in order to walk in true humility, you have to walk in true identity. Otherwise, your humility gets tainted and it turns into something that's not true. You feel like you're less than, but you begin to get this, you actually end up becoming a victim then. And that's not what God is intending. So Stephen told us that the next thing in this list is obedience. Obedience is the fruit of what comes out of our life when we're walking in humility and walking in love. That's the fruit of that. So listen, we're looking at Joseph. Obedience was the doorway to purpose for Joseph. And I didn't hit this probably hard enough, but in this idea of trying to escape this victim mentality, if Joseph would have got sucked into that, if Joseph had not done the stuff, if he had not done it with excellence, if he had not showed up, if he had not put his hand to the plow, if he would let the outside circumstance dictate his behavior, Israel would have died. The nation would have ceased to exist. He was slated. He had a word from God that he was the man, right? And then he walked in humility because guess what? You can't be the man when you're in prison. And yet Joseph still walked in excellence. He said, I'm not going to let what's going on out there influence who I am in here. And he decided to have this spirit of excellence and walk in obedience. Yes, sir. How would you like me to do that? Absolutely. It's going to be the best you've ever seen, right? And he didn't mope around, at least that we have record of. You know, he kept his head and he walked in obedience. And because he walked in obedience, if he wouldn't have walked in obedience, all of the rest would have fallen. If he hadn't done, you guys, what are you supposed to be doing in your life right now that moping has got you not doing? What are we, right? And it was a doorway for Joseph to reach his destiny. It was a doorway for God's plans and purposes in his life. And then we see the last one, purpose, moving in God's plan and God's best for your life in this moment. Pastor Stephen said this, I love this. The key for unlocking your true purpose is found in glorifying God while serving others. Man, you do that with a good heart for a long enough season, God is going to uncover and open up his purposes for your life. I promise you. It gets our ears tuned in and our heart tuned in to what God is saying. And Joseph had to do that. But if he wouldn't have walked in his true identity, if he would have let, you're right, I am just a slave. Yep. I am just lowly. I am unloved. Right? My brother sold me. I am a victim. He kept his healthy identity, but he didn't let it go to his head. He kept humility. But he didn't let humility go to his flesh and say that he's worthless. And in the middle of all that, he was obedient. He did what he was supposed to be doing. And because of that, God brought him into his purpose to save a nation. Second only to Pharaoh and number one in the land for everything else other than what Pharaoh decided. I mean, how incredible. A non-Egyptian. That is bizarre. That just doesn't happen. And so at the end of this all, he said this. Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. Look at this. You intended, God intended. You intended, God intended. It would be tempting for us as we're trying to have a healthy mindset and trying to be not victims to kind of just try to whitewash everything because it's not a kingdom response, it's an emotional response. It's an emotional safety net. and we say, well, they didn't really mean that for us. And we, you know, and I'm not saying don't give people the benefit of the doubt, but we kind of just, the way that we handle it emotionally is we just kind of sweep it away and we kind of ignore it and we stuff it in. And that's not what Joseph is saying. He's saying, you were turkeys. you intended to harm me. And he recognized that. He said, I took it, I processed it, and I listened to the Lord. God intended for it. So he didn't deny that there was intention of harm, but he processed it in a kingdom way. He said, God wanted to use this for God purposes. So having a victim mentality will keep you prisoner to the man and man's intentions. You are always going to stay stuck on the you intended side. Every time that we're a victim, every time that we feel powerless, every time that I can't do anything about this or nothing, and I haven't utilized any of my resources, and I haven't gone to God, and I haven't stretched out my wings and decided I'm going forward, I haven't kept my mind in the right place, then we're guaranteed to be stuck on the you intended side. And that's what we're a prisoner to. The only way that we can get to the God-intended side is to walk in that healthy mindset. The Jesus stack, it'll help us to experience what God intended. It'll help us to recognize, all right, you guys, I don't know, or this thing, or life is coming at me right now. It's true. All right, but what am I going to do with that? How am I going to walk through that? And we can choose. All right, I'm going to go to part two here. As we're closing this out, these are the verses, this revelation that I'm going to share with you now were the genesis of this entire series. And this happened a long time ago. I saw something in Scripture that just set my heart free. And it's easy to see and hard to live, right? Come on, you victims, right? We want sympathy. We want people to tell us it's okay. And we want to just stay here, but that's not healthy. And so we're moving out of being victims. And Jesus tells us some things, and we're going to look at Luke, and then we're going to look at Matthew. And this is basically the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus did is he went and he preached the kingdom. Say the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom has its own set of rules, values, and ways of operating. And it's infused into this life. The kingdom of heaven exists here. The place of heaven is somewhere, you know, east of Chicago. I don't know where it is, but it's out there somewhere. But the kingdom of heaven, the power and the authority and the values and the means of operation is among us, Jesus said. It's in our midst. So it exists in another plane that we can step into. It's another dimension. It's another way of operating that exists right now until Jesus comes and makes all things new again. It exists right now tangentially with this dimension, in coexistence with not it's in opposition to, but it exists alongside of this dimension. And so we can choose to do things like we did this morning. You're living in the flesh in this dimension, but we can choose to step into the kingdom dimension, and we're going to lay our hands on you and see the kingdom of God come invade your body and bring healing with it, because that's a kingdom value, right? And we can operate in kingdom values, or we can operate in natural values. And so Jesus is explaining the kingdom, and he gives the Beatitudes, and that these are doorways and entrance points and value systems of the kingdom of God, and it's all about how to live in the kingdom. And the American church doesn't talk about that a lot, and yet that's all Jesus talked about. Right? That's all the Scriptures talk about, is living in the kingdom, kingdom life, kingdom mindsets, kingdom values, kingdom purposes. And we think regular life and church, and that's about as far as we get a lot of time. But Jesus is talking about kingdom existing. And so he's explaining all of these things. So we're going to read a couple verses here. This is Luke 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Raise your hand if you've ever been mistreated. Raise your hand if you wanted to feel like a victim in that moment, right? So Jesus is talking to potential victims here, right? And he's giving us keys and ways of living to sidestep becoming a victim and to walk in kingdom power. We're going to read a little bit more in Luke. If someone slaps you on one cheek, slap them back. turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, turn them into the police. Or do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Let's go to Matthew now. It's kind of the same thing. You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Wow. That's great to preach on in church. Come Monday morning, I forgot what the preacher said, and you're getting a knuckle sandwich. That's all I'm saying. And Jesus is trying to not give us a... Jesus could care less about giving us a good sermon. Hold on a second. Jesus' first priority was not to give us a good sermon. Come on, I got about 30% of you that are getting this. Jesus could care less that you got a great sermon. Oh, good for you. Jesus is desperately concerned that you enter the kingdom of heaven, that you walk in kingdom living, that you walk in victorious life right now, coexisting in this plane of existence, but bringing kingdom values and seeing the works of the enemy destroyed. Amen? Amen. All right, I got 60% of you with me. Okay, so in this sermon, he doesn't care about sounding good. He doesn't care about, like, this is, like, he's saying, no, guys, I'm peeling back the veil and letting you see how the wizard operates, right? Giving you a glimpse behind the curtain here. Dive in and walk like this, and you'll experience something you've never experienced before. You'll experience life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come your own way and experience true life. You have to come his way and walk in his way. So let me show you the contradiction here. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. This is Old Testament. This is God saying this, okay? And it's God telling you what God said, actually, because Jesus is God. And so he's saying, you've heard it said. And he's saying, that's kind of the old way of doing things because I'm about to bring a new kingdom here. We're about to open up your guys' entrance into the kingdom of God. So the name for this is called the Lex Talionis. And they find this in many cultures. And here's what, and it was actually a good thing, but here's what was going on. God set these rules, and other cultures did as well, because an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. All right, so I punch Jim and I knock his tooth out. Okay, has anyone ever overreacted before? Anyone ever been around siblings, brothers, especially brothers? Well, girls are no better, but for this example, been around maybe say some brothers. After a long, prolonged number of months of brothers kind of getting on each other's nerves, one brother comes by and bumps the other one with the shoulder. Lex Talionis would say, all right, you can go bump him back with the other shoulder. But what does brother number two want to do? Brother number two wants to pick up the couch and smash brother number one over the head. Take him outside. We got some friends that used to play. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I thought of this. But some kids that used to be in our youth group, some dear, dear family friends. Actually, Jen was her name, and she had three brothers. And they used to play a game called Drag Him to the Poop. Jen's the one that always got drug. Okay, so out in the front yard, I've heard this story dozens of times over the years. And so, Jen, let's go outside and play Drag Him to the Poop. And so they would knock her down and drag her over to where the dog had just been. And right? I know. We should all send her a Facebook message and let her know that we feel so sorry for her. We're angry with these brothers. They need to make restitution. They are great men and women, yes. And so that's what the brothers wants to do. Like this overreaction, this over-retaliation. That's what Lex Talionis was put. It's the law according to kind. All right, you break my arm, then I get to break your arm, right? It's an equalization so that there's not, all right, you drove your horse into my yard and you tipped over my flower pot. Now me and my family are going to come and burn your house down. And it was to create a civil society. But it's very natural based. It makes sense to our heads and hearts, but it's based in the natural. It's based in the natural. So you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, the next verse, but I tell you, hold on, watch this. Jesus is going to tell you a different way to operate. Remember, this first verse, Jesus is saying it's fair. It's fair. Someone steps on your toes, it's fair. You should step on their toes. That's fair. Okay, Lex Talionis, it's all about keeping things fair. We don't want any victims here. We're going to keep it fair. And that's the mindset that people had because that was the law. Jesus is cracking something open here, guys, that is phenomenal. Jesus said, that's fine if you want to walk through life expecting things to be fair and expecting your retaliation to be fair and level-headed. That's fine. But you're not going to participate in kingdom life. Because you're counting on this system. You're counting on revenge. You're counting on retaliation. You're counting on that in order to get the desired results. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you a better way. And he said, you can choose. Do you want to operate in a natural law or do you want to operate in kingdom principles? You choose. And I think we look at this as just kind of a martyr syndrome. Like Jesus just wants us to be abused, right? Has anyone ever read that? He's like, oh, someone takes your coat, give them your shirt too. You know, like it's just this kind of deflating series of commandments from Jesus. And I'm like, God, why are you so... Like, not to be sacrilegious or anything, but why are you so sadistic? Like, why do you want to, like, punish us? And if that's the view you have, a victim mentality, a victim view would see the commandments of Jesus as wanting to keep us down and punish us. Guys, this is huge. This is so important. I want you to get this. I know I'm not explaining it very well, but we'll get there, hopefully, by faith. Okay? If we look at the commandments of God as something that wants to limit us instead of free us, we will always be looking at the commandments of God with a victim mindset. Oh, now I can't do that either. Victim. Oh, now that's a sin too. Victim. This victim mindset paralyzes us in so many ways. And Jesus wants us to see that there's a kingdom way. I'm not just telling you to not do something. I'm telling you to step into something. I'm giving you glimpses behind the curtain of what the potential is for your lives. I'm trying to empower you. I read a line last night that just rocked my world in a book on prayer and fasting. And the guy said that Jesus' intentions was never to come to steal our joy and to rob us of our joy, but it was to give us the fullness of his. Oh, and that just hit me. I'm like, but there's only one way to it. I can't get to the fullness of joy on my terms. Hey, I can't get to the fullness of joy. How many would want to walk in fullness of joy? I don't know what that is, but fullness of joy. How many of you have ever walked for a moment in fullness of joy? Maybe when your child's been born or you finally got to ride the wild thing at Valley Fair or like fullness of joy, right? You know, vinyl taco, whatever it is. Like you just got this overflowing, like nothing else matters joy. Jesus said you can walk in that. You can't walk in it on your terms. And so some of this stuff seems like God wants to restrict and keep us down. And Jesus is like, no, if you keep staying in that mindset, you will. But if you sidestep and you're like, oh, I'm going to walk kingdom way. he's saying there's a whole new world. Huh? Never thought you would see the day, did you? I did not either. I'm still a little shocked by that. I don't know where that came from. I'm actually a little embarrassed. Wow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 7, two of the most haunting questions in this section of Scripture. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you've been completely defeated already. Listen to this. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? I dare you to answer that question to Paul. Listen, just all bets are off. Everything's on the table. Go ahead. Answer that. Give me your best shot of answering that question to Paul. I mean, this is rhetorical. Don't do it. But what are you going to bring up to Paul that it's going to convince him that you getting retribution for what some turkey did to you is going to mean a hill of beans in the kingdom of God right now? And Paul's trying. Do you see the word there? Defeated. He's not saying right and wrong. He is saying that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, what's the opposite of defeat? Victory. He's talking about you living victorious. Paul said, I agree with Jesus. I want you to live full victorious lives. I want you to live lives that are rich and overflowing. And the fact that you have lawsuits means that you've been completely defeated. And any answer that we try to come up with, but Paul, if you knew, he'd be like, what? Stoned? They stoned you? Oh, they didn't? Oh, they did me. He, like, whatever you told him, he would say, you don't get it, though. You're still in this carnal mindset. What Paul is saying here is you are trying to attain an internal victory by manipulating an external circumstance. Why did they want to go to court and sue someone? And I don't know what the specific thing here was, but why would you? Why would I? Because we felt we've been cheated and that something's not fair, right? It's not fair. Wait a minute. We just talked about not fair. Where did I just hear about not fair a minute ago? Oh yeah, Jesus. Jesus said you can stick with this is fair, but you're going to miss the kingdom. So I would go to court for the court to tell me what's fair. And this is not an indictment against any court cases. This is not saying that you shouldn't ever go to court. Paul's talking about something deeper here. The fact that in the church you've got lawsuits among you, you've been defeated already because you're looking to solve. I'm saying this is not fair and you owe me something. Paul said, guess what? You are going to, if you win in court, you're going to live in defeat. You lose. The fact that you're trying to manipulate what's going on in here by something out there tells me that you've already lost. It doesn't matter. Hey, pray for me, brother. Got court next week. It doesn't matter. You've lost already. You're trying to attain the victory from an external circumstance. Praise God on this side of the Red Sea. And after you cross it, but praise him on this side, then you can walk in the victory. Defeat in this life does not come in what happens to us, but it happens in our response to it. So look at this list of things here. If someone slaps your cheek, he's talking about physical abuse. If someone sues you for your shirt, like just taking your stuff, right? Forces you to go a mile, that's, you know, kind of this service and making you do things, ask to borrow from you, that's a financial hardship that someone owes you, right? Like, he just kind of covered the gamut. If you want to feel like a victim, go ahead, you can, right? But I'm going to give you a way out. All right, let me bring it around. We're going to go back to the Matthew verse again. You've heard it said, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, read it with me. Turn to them, the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your shirt, read it. Hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Every one of these scenarios is a potential for me to be a victim. Well, they're making me go a mile. Jesus said, you can keep on being the victim in that circumstance, or you can be the one in charge. You know what? I'm going 2 miles. Who's being mistreated now? Not me. Jesus is saying, take your power back. I'm not giving my life so that you can be meager and measly and whiny butts. I'm not sure if that's what version that's in, but he's saying, you have power in this scenario. You have powerful choices to make here. Someone slaps you on the cheek, you can either, ouch, I'm going to get you, or you can do this. I'm going to turn the other cheek. Why? Because you don't get to control the situation. You don't get to control what's happening inside of me. Only I do. Only I do. You don't get to. You can try all you want to control me on the inside, and you cannot. That's powerful people. And when kingdom principles reside in here, and birth kingdom responses. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm giving you the way out of this. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to talk about woe is me. And you don't have, Paul's like, man, I've been shipwrecked. And I've been beat. Oh, praise God who gives us the victory, right? So the answer, the question is, who's the powerful person here? Like in this situation, I'm going to take your coat. Right? Here, I'll give you my shirt too. And not in spite, because it's a doorway. That's a kingdom response. I get to choose whether I'm a victim or not. And when I saw that, I was so mesmerized. We're just about done. True spiritual authority is realized and released when we humbly and obediently serve others. So often we get this idea of spiritual authority, and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to whatever, so that when I get in a situation like that, I can take authority over that guy that's trying to steal my cloak. Ah, come on, Pentecostals. I'm going to take authority over that guy that's trying to steal my cloak, and I can cast the demon out of him, and boy, then I'll have my cloak still. Jesus is saying, you want to really carry spiritual authority and walk in power? Give him your shirt, too. And we've just touched on this when we went through our humility series, but humility is currency for gaining spiritual authority. You walk out humility and you serve others in love, and you start to become a powerful person in the kingdom of God. Not just in our mindsets, but powerful in the kingdom of God. Think about this. Who was really in charge when Jesus was on the cross? You don't believe me? Who was in charge when Jesus was on the cross? Who had the spiritual authority in that moment? Right? We get to decide what happens on the inside of us. We've got the tools. You guys, you have the Word of God. You've got the Spirit of God. You've got the power of God living in you, and we're done now. Guys, don't be victims. You can go through victim circumstances, but don't let what's going on outside of you get on the inside of you. You are not stuck. Look at somebody. Say, you're not stuck. You're not stuck. You are not stuck. You have tons of resources and tools at your fingertips. You are not paralyzed. This is not the end. Hope is beaming bright in your future. Your best days are ahead. This is an exciting moment to be alive. You are not a victim. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.